Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Court is now in session.
Damn.
Welcome to the show for Friday, February 24th, 2017. A very lovely, exciting, delicious 10-game slate on tap. I'm your host, The Judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1. That noise in the background is the bailiff playing with water bottles. It's very noisy. I'm making him go up play with that on the other side of the room. So it's going to be a weird show. I have a feeling right now because it's 4:12 in the morning. And so that's normally got, first of all, guys, how was I doing these shows before the All-Star break? I had a nice little week off for All-Star break, and now I don't know how I did it. So I had to take like a little nap, and I missed the second half of the Denver Sacramento game because I was just so exhausted. So I'm not sure how I'm going to make it through. The bailiff's already making noises too. This schedule is throwing him off. But with that said, a glorious slate on Friday, and some really interesting. It was a really cool, funky slate on Thursday. I was able to make some money on both sides. Hopefully, you were able to have a good night as well. Now, Thursday also saw the trade deadline go by, which that was a freaking disaster. I mean, just almost nothing happened. We'll talk a little bit about the trades that did take place. But besides, you know, hashtag those we don't speak of getting traded, there really wasn't anything big on trades. I mean, the only big one was the Boogie trade, which took place over the weekend. Before we start the heart of the show, though, all right, hold on. The bailiff, can you stop with the water bottle? Guys, I'm going to have to take this from the bailiff. It pains me to do this, but I must. That's it. See, now if you listen to like a NASCAR show, they probably don't have like a bailiff chewing on water bottles, do they? Maybe. Then again, maybe that's why you like the NASCAR shows and other podcasts. All right, so please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want, you can leave a rating saying, you know, please don't have the bailiff be chewing on water bottles during the show. That would be fine, as long as you give it 5 stars. But just remember, do not leave a review saying I can't drink water, because I do need to hydrate myself during the show. It's very important for me. Otherwise, how am I going to make it through a show at 4 o'clock in the morning? Remember, be kind to the judge. The more kind you are to the judge, the more shows. Negativity to the judge, that does you no good. It just means I'll go in hiding. Also, when I tweet out the show, please retweet it for the world to see, because we do want to expand the show, get more followers. I don't know how we have as many followers or many downloads as we currently do. It's pretty amazing. It's good to see. I'm glad to see Sleepy Grinders, Roto Trash. We're stealing a lot of their listeners. Stealing is the wrong word. We are rightfully getting a lot of their listeners because they are providing you shameful, inaccurate information. So if you want NASCAR news, go listen to some other pods. If you want a basketball podcast for DFS, this is the show to listen to. Bring your friends over to the judge. Remember, you have an affirmative duty. I taught you a legal term a couple weeks ago. You have an affirmative duty to bring your friends over to the judge. Do not make them fall asleep listening to Roto Trash. And the judge will lead us all to glory. All right. If you do want a consultation with me, yeah, good luck with that. If you do, reach out to me. Tweet me at DanielAGreen1, or you can email me. Remember, I do have a new website that I hope to unleash. I think this weekend I'm gonna try to unleash it. It's actually ready right now, but there's a couple additional features I want to put on it. So right now you can email me via the website dgcourtroomdfs.com. If you do want a consultation, if you're having a more macro level problem in DFS, roster construction, what contest to enter, you know, you gotta get off all the junk that other sites and other podcasts have been you know, hammering it away at you for the past year or 2 years or 3 years, however long you have not been listening to the judge. So if you do want a consultation, just let me know. And let's jump into Chambers for Thursday night. So an all-star break. We had a week off of no games, no Chambers, no Judge for the most part. We were back at it like on Thursday. We had one Chambers on DraftKings, had 50 people in it. We had three Chambers on FanDuel, 20 people each on FanDuel. Congrats to DFS Prodigy 23. That's his Twitter handle. I think he goes by Yates and then a bunch of X's underscores, a really weird funky name, username. This is one of my first followers from the first website I started writing for and doing videos for like 4 years ago. And then it's ironic because I just found out yesterday that DFS Prodigy 23, or Yates as I call him, wasn't even subscribed to the podcast. Oh, how is that possible, Yates? So I'm very disappointed. And then he joins Chambers today and then takes down Chambers. So life is funny like that. But congrats to him. He's a really good player, which is surprising. If he hasn't been listening to Judge, who's been guiding him? But congrats to him. By the way, it's his second win of the year. Super Fargo, man, you got to let me know your Twitter handle. I should know it, but I don't. It's your fourth win of the year, his seventh cash. Had the highest score of the night at 343. It was a monster scoring night because when you have guys who are under 4K, like a Nurkic, like Willie Cauley-Stein, giving you 40 FanDuel points, it's going to be a massive, massive scoring night. And that's what happened on Thursday. I think I saw GPPs were the winning scores. Even in single entry tournaments, I saw the winning scores in like the 390s. So it was that kind of night. You needed a big score to win some big money. But Super Fargo put up a 343, and that's a good score. I mean, that's fantastic. Also, Troy Hewitt scored a 339 and also won Chambers on FanDuel. He goes by Redlicious on FanDuel. His eighth cash of the year, but his first Chambers glory. So congratulations to him. He's been close many times. So that's a pretty nice feat for him. So congrats. On DraftKings, someone that I think is new or I haven't seen cash before, I think, and that's Wee_White. So he put up a 305 score on DraftKings. Remember, DraftKings only 8 players, not 9. You do get some Donkey Kong points for double-doubles, triple-doubles, you know, all that weird funky stuff. But he 305, still a really good score for DraftKings. He Hate Me DFS took second place. He's a really good player. And EPAB 2350 took third. And remember, guys, let me know if you're playing in Chambers, let me know your Twitter handle. And I do have someone helping me on the DraftKings side, keeping a chart of everything. But it's hard. I mean, we have I was looking today, I think it was 722 people have now played in the FanDuel Chambers alone. That's a lot of people. On DraftKings, I'm not sure the exact number. I'll try to get that soon. So normally on Fridays, which would be probably when you're listening to this, it's going to be Friday. Fridays we run a best of the best. Because this week is weird, we've only had, you know, really one day of games. Chambers for all on Friday. So we'll have a best of the best on Monday, which is going to be people at the top of the power rankings. I also will update the power rankings probably on Monday as well, or maybe late Sunday night. So Chambers will be open as usual on Friday. All right, so let's talk a little bit about some trades. There were a few that I think will be somewhat DFS relevant. My favorite one is just you had Fad Waffle House, Jared Sullinger, getting traded to Phoenix for PJ Tucker. I mean, I just like talking about gravy coming out of Jared Sullinger's behind. And Jared Sullinger, I mean, I just want to get him on a team with a bunch of – I want an all-fat team. Can we get like – I want Randall, Sullinger, Al Jefferson. I want all those guys on the same team. Zach Randolph. Somehow I want at least like two or three of those guys on the same team would be fun. But so in terms of DFS, not much here. But in terms of real-life basketball, I do think this is a good move by Toronto getting PJ Tucker. I mean, when you look at their roster now, man, when you can roll out Lowry, DeRozan – and then you're going to have, I guess they're still going to start Carroll. Then you could bring Tucker off the bench. I mean, Tucker and Carroll are similar players. I actually think Tucker's a better defender. And Carroll's a pretty good defender, too. And then they traded for Ibaka. And then you have Valanciunas. You still got Patrick Patterson there as well. So suddenly, you got a pretty intriguing squad. I'm not sure what they feel like a need to score off the bench. You know, PJ Tucker's not really that. But that's a pretty nice top 6-7 players on your rosters. Toronto, you know, they can match up pretty well against anyone. Do they have enough to beat Cleveland? Probably not, but still, I do like that move. Let's see what else was interesting. The Nuggets got Roy Hibbert. Whatever. That's funny. Why would Denver trade for Roy frickin' Hibbert when you already have Jokic and you just got rid of Nurkic? You're not going to play Hibbert. It must have been a salary cap thing, I would think. Those we don't speak of. Very, very tough news. Quite honestly, I was surprised. This move by the Bulls was a little perplexing to me. So the Bulls traded Doug McDermott, Taj Gibson, and a 2018 second-round pick to the OKC for Cameron Payne, Anthony Morrow, and Yuffie Lavernia. And, I mean, at first I hated this move for the Bulls, and then I guess it does make sense. I mean, first of all, the Bulls, they've been looking for one shooting, and McDermott has not really been able to shoot the ball well for them this year. Although, when the Bulls originally drafted McDermott, they gave up a ton to get him. Also, even though we've made fun of those we don't speak of, you know, that's what we call Doug McDermott this year, and he's costs a lot of money. He's shown flashes, and it also he's not in the best system with Fred Hoiberg. So, losing Taj Gibson, while at first I thought that would hurt the Bulls a little bit. The more I thought about it, quite honestly, he barely plays 25 minutes a game. He almost is never finishing the game for the Bulls lately. Bobby Portis is better. I mean, you could make an argument Bobby Portis is an all-around better player than Gibson right now. You could also – I mean, Christian Felicio is a decent player as well. So, I guess it makes sense for the Bulls to give – and Gibson was going to be a free agent. So I don't hate this move for the Bulls anymore. To give a second-round pick, whatever. But in terms of, this year, is it going to help the Bulls to get Payne? I don't see him playing a ton of minutes. Morrow is a guy I hated on OKC. He's a streaky shooter. He's similar to McDermott in some ways, except I think McDermott's a little bit of a better all-around player. And then Lavernia does have talent, so I think down the road, maybe he can help the Bulls, but I don't think this year. And then for OKC, I think this is a good move, though, because I think Gibson can help them immediately. Remember, Enes Kanter is a freaking moron, and he banged his head, broke his hand against a chair. So I think Gibson can basically go in right in the starting lineup and help OKC immediately. So McDermott will give them a nice scoring punch off the bench, which OKC does need. So good trade for OKC for the Bulls. Maybe a year or two down the road, it could be okay. I do think Payne has upside eventually. It's not going to happen this year. And then the move that was another one was somewhat interesting. The Mavericks got Nerlens Noel. And look, guys, this is going to be DFS relevant. The Dallas can slide him in immediately. He's going to be a monster for Dallas defensively. Dallas is one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. So they traded Bogut, Justin Anderson, in a 2017 first-round protected pick. I wish Philly would have traded that bum Okafor and kept Noel, but I guess no one wanted Okafor, and rightfully so, because he's a piece of trash. This okay move, I guess, for Philly, because they do get a first-round pick. But I think Nerlens is a really good player, so I think Dallas got the better end of that deal. He can step into the starting lineup right now, play 30-plus minutes a night for them. Carlisle, even though we hate him in DFS, really good coach. He's going to get all the rebounds he can handle. They're going to need him to defend the paint. So, like the move a lot for Dallas. Dallas also waived Deron Williams. So, very interesting roster. I mean, I'm also going to be interested to see if Dallas plays at a little faster pace now. I mean, they'll probably be rolling out a lineup. What? It's going to be – you got some young guns. You got Yogi. You got Wes, Barnes, Dirk, who's still 50 years old, and then Nerlens. So, really, Dirk's the one holding that team back in terms of slowing the pace down. But when he's out – he only plays like 24 minutes a night or so. When he's out of the game, they can play at a relatively fast pace now with Yogi and Nerlens in there. So Dallas is going to be went from being a team I hated to watch play to now it's going to be pretty interesting to see them. All right, let's go to Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. Even though it was only a 6-game slate, man, there was lots of Dream Killers, lots of Dream Lovers, like there always is. Start with the killers. I have not played a lot of Derrick Rose this year. If you listen to the podcast, I think he's a criminal in real life, and I don't like his game on the court. So, and he's too expensive. So, it's never a fan of using him in any format. on this slate against the Cavs and Kyrie Irving defense, high over under. I use him a little bit, and he of course burned me. I don't even think he got 20 Fando points, and he was lucky to even get close to that. He had like 13 actual points, 4 assists, but he was a disaster. He stinks. From this game, also from this Knicks-Cleveland game, Porzingis, man, soul crusher again. Every time we try to use this bum, no, he's not a bum. I take that back. Every time we try to use him, he just lets us down, though. It's always something weird. It could be foul trouble, just he's standing 25 feet away from the hoop, not getting the ball because Rose and Melo are being ball hogs, or he gets hurt. And here he sprained his ankle after only 16 minutes, too. So he barely got any playing time. And he was also in a walking boot after the game. And I guess some of their officials or whatever the hell that official is on the Knicks is fearing that he could have some ligament damage. So stay tuned to that. Just a disastrous situation for Porzingis, the Knicks in general. Just devastating. Reggie Jackson. I mean, Stan Van was trying to trade Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond, if you believe all the sources, and I do. It makes sense. I mean, Reggie Jackson has been playing well this entire year. I mean, I think he was hurt to start the year, and then this Detroit was playing okay. Like, the second he got back, after two games, the entire team started whining that he was taking too many shots and not passing the ball. He immediately came back and had like a 32% usage rate because he does think he's like the greatest player in the world. And it just hasn't been a good fit for that team this year, even though last year it was. So I'm not sure what really changed between last year and this year. It's a little odd. But Reggie Jackson, they could not trade him at the deadline. And did he come out focused with a very motivated, wanting to kick some, you know what? No, he showed up. He had 4 points, 1 of 6 shooting in 20 minutes. It was pretty disgusting. And not to mention, on the other end, when we get to Dream Lovers, Ish Smith had like 16 assists. So, I mean, I'd be shocked if Stan Van continues to start with Reggie Jackson. It just makes zero sense. Ish Smith has outplayed him for the last like 2.5 weeks. So it's time to just bench him. Or, I quite honestly, I think Reggie Jackson would be a good sixth man. Then he can just come in with the second unit, take every shot in the world, put up like 20, 22 actual points in like 24, 26 minutes. Why not just do that if I'm Stan Van Gundy? Because starting is just not working for him. James Harden, man, you know, we all were excited to watch Boogie and Anthony Davis, but this Houston Pelicans game was a big letdown. Houston beat him by 30 points. They were up by over 20 early in the second half. And when you have a Houston winning by 30, 129 to 99, obviously Harden didn't get enough minutes to hit value. He didn't even get close. He had 13 points, 14 assists. If you played him, it was probably a soul crusher. Drew Holiday. So while Anthony Davis and Cousins, their usage was good, even though the Pelicans got blown out, the guy who struggled the most was Drew Holiday. But in the first half, I think he had like 2 points and 1 assist in the first half, and he looked a mess on the court, wasn't sure what to do. I think he also only had like 1 or 2 shots. But the good news was he ended the night with 12 shots. So, you know, even though he only had 6 points and he shot 3 of 12 from the floor, the shot attempts in the second half, he must have got like 9 or 10. And to me, and they got blown out. So I don't think he barely played in the fourth quarter. So he must have taken a ton of shots in the third quarter. I mean, I was watching the game. I don't remember him taking that many shots, but I guess he did. So I'm a little concerned about Drew Holiday, but in DFS terms, I think the price is going to drop pretty rapidly. He was like 8K on Thursdays. In about a week from now, I bet you he's close to like 7K. And at that price, I think he'll be okay to play on certain nights. He's not going to be an elite play, though, going forward, I don't think. Every night when you have Anthony Davis and Cousins who are going to each take 18 to 20 shots. Elfrid Payton, he might be the most annoying player in the NBA to own right now on a season long or just a roster in DFS. Really not sure what to make of it. If you watch Orlando play, and I played some Orlando guys, I had some Payton, I had some Gordon, had some Fournier, had some Vucevic, had some Jeff Green, had some Terrence Ross. I mean, all the Orlando guys were pretty cheap, including Payton on all sites. So it made sense to play him. And most of them didn't. The only one that really destroyed your lineups was Elfrid Payton. You know, he's got the start because C.J. Watson God only knows why the hell he's starting anyway, C.J. Watson. But with him out, Peyton started, but he only played 23 minutes, and he was lucky to get that. He was only at like 17, 18 minutes halfway through the fourth quarter, and then Vogel gave him a few more minutes. He came back in and was dreadful. You know, went in for a layup and got blocked by like four different people. I think I tweeted out the play. He was not involved in the game on either end of the court. I don't think he contributed in one favorable category, you know, either on paper or in terms of just real life basketball. He was just non-existent out there. It's super bizarre because he does have talent, and we've seen him go off for like 50, 60 FanDuel point nights. But right now, he's almost unfreaking playable. I mean, 9 points, 3 assists, 23 minutes. It's just really bizarre right now. I mean, I think Frank Vogel has just destroyed his confidence. And to me, that's the one thing where the only reason I may not go on like a 25-minute rant saying how much Elfrid Payton is a bum, because I do think Vogel's been messing with his head all year long. And these guys still are real human beings. And it's got to be weird if you're starting, you're not starting, you're playing 30 minutes, you're playing 15 minutes. I don't know what the hell Frank Vogel's doing. I didn't like that hire to begin with, and it's been a disaster all year long for Elfrid Payton and the whole Magic team. My biggest soul crusher of the night was Jokic. Jokic actually got benched by Mike Malone. How do you bench Jokic? I don't care. Unless Jokic, like, on the court takes and picks up a knife and stabs an opposing player, and even if he did that, I still probably let him finish the game, and then I'd put him in jail or something. Like, how do you bench this guy? Only played 26 minutes, had 4 points and 10 rebounds. Yeah, did he look a little off? Yeah, he did. But still, I mean, come on, Mike Malone. So at that, his price, which, you know, what was he, close to like 11K on FanDuel, close, over 10K on DraftKings. It was, you know, I don't know if he got 20 FanDuel or DraftKings points. It was devastating. So soul crusher for him for sure. Dream lovers. LeBron really wasn't a dream lover. I put him down here, and then I'm thinking about it, and he wasn't, because Durant, who was cheaper, outscored him. And that makes, just by the nature of DFS, LeBron's actually a dream killer. Even though LeBron put up like the easiest triple-double I've ever seen in my life against the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks just offer no resistance on the defensive end whatsoever. I mean, LeBron had 18 points, 15 assists, 13 rebounds, and 3 blocks, and he did not break a sweat at all. It just, the game just comes so easy to him, and especially against the Knicks. The Triscuit, hashtag Triscuit, if you want a stale, disgusting-tasting whole wheat cracker, play the Triscuit, and he occasionally comes through. He put up 10 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks. I just cannot stand playing him. I had zero exposure if you played him. I mean, you can attack the Knicks center, so I guess if there was a night to play him, you could have on this slate, although Nurkic was down there for dirt cheap, for free, basically. I think Nurkic still outscored Triscuit. Courtney Lee's quietly been putting up monster games. So he went from being, you know, a man without a usage rate to, I can't even want to say this, one of the Knicks' best players? Question mark? Question mark? Question mark? He had 25 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 triples. God, it pains me to read that sentence. Whatever. Is this going to become a thing to play Courtney Lee? I can't envision that. We'll see what his price is next game. Just keep that in mind, though. If Porzingis is out for any extended period of time, maybe Courtney Lee would be a decent play going forward. Although, again, he will never be an elite play. Never, 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 never. Ish Smith was phenomenal. I mentioned he had 5 points, 16 assists, and 33 minutes. You know, that's why the other Pistons love playing with him. If you watch any of that Detroit Charlotte game, which was one of the best games to watch, went to overtime, and Detroit beat Charlotte 114-108. I would say there was like a 10-minute stretch where I didn't see Ish Smith look at the rim. He was looking to pass on every single possession. So obviously, if you're, you know, KCP, if you're Tobias Harris, if you're Marcus Morris, even the bum John Lure, it's got to be fun to play with a guy like that, right? Unlike Reggie Jackson, who won't even look at you. He's just going to look at the rim. He's not going to look at any of his teammates. I mean, how long would it take Reggie Jackson to get 16 assists at least a week, right? Probably three games. And I'm in all seriousness, it'd probably take him what, three games? So Ish Smith's just a much better fit with that Detroit offense right now. KCP, he went nuts. He was like 4.9K on FanDuel. I listened to a podcast yesterday. Won't mention names. It had something to do with room NASCAR crap. Who said they would never ever even think about playing KCP? Yeah, good call on that one. I mean, he was 4.9K, so he made sense on any slate at that price. Now, did I think he was going to have 50 FanDuel points or whatever he came up with? Of course not. No, but he went nuts, and especially remember the less Reggie Jackson plays, the better. As I just mentioned, Ish Smith is not looking to score, so the better it is for KCP. For Tobias, for Marcus Morris, even Drummond, but whenever that guy doesn't fall asleep. So KCP was phenomenal. 33 points, 9 rebounds, 7 three-pointers. And it was – the most surprising thing was he was destroying Nick Batum, who I thought was like an okay defender. But KCP was Batum just could not stay with him. It was bizarre. Batum looked super tired coming up at, you know, after the All-Star break. What the hell was Batum doing last week? I mean, he's a handsome guy. I mean, I think I have an idea what he was doing. But, I mean, come on, Batum. Like, get some rest. I mean, KCP just destroyed him. Lou Williams wasn't even supposed to play for Houston. Like, late in the day, we found out he's going to play. We heard that he's going to play a few minutes. And then what does he do? The same thing he did when he was on the Lakers. Played only 25 minutes, had 27 actual points, and, like, 7 three-pointers. So that's what Lou Williams does. Boogie put up a phenomenal line, and he actually played really well. It was a bizarre game to watch. Pelicans had a lot of turnovers. Clearly, they you know, it's the first time when you add a guy with a 40% usage rate, it's going to take time to gel. So just the Pelicans, the entire roster, right? Also the roster besides Holiday, Cousins, and Davis, you can see it needs work. I mean, Etuan Moore you have there, but you don't really have any guards. Tim Frazier looked awful. You got like Solomon Hill and Dante Cunningham, who aren't very good players. So they're still like a player or two away. So it's not going to be an easy thing for them to just, you know, get that eight spot in the West. You know, and they're going to need somehow to figure out how to mesh that unit together pretty fast. I'm not sure how exactly they're going to do it because, I mean, Anthony Davis was pretty good and Cousins was great, and they got actually blitzed by Houston. But Cousins' line was 27 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 three-pointer, 5 steals, 4 blocks. My God. And he still played 35 minutes. I mean, they lost by 30 points. I think Elvin Gentry was just trying to give them extra minutes, even though it was a blowout, just so they could try to mesh together and get some more time on the court together. So Boogie, he's still going to be a monster. He's just, you know, one of the most gifted big men in the game, easily. So if you played Boogie, that was good. But on the other end of the spectrum, you had the highest priced guy in the slate. This at center was Boogie, and then you had Nurkic, who was one of the cheapest guys. And Nurkic had a monster night. 12 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. And the most important thing to me, the most surprising thing to me, especially because Portland is run by Terry frickin' Stotts, he got 34 minutes. Terry Stotts doesn't play anyone 34 minutes besides, you know, Judy and McCollum. So that was shocking to see. And he also was really on the defensive end. He was frustrating Vucevic, which is why I think Stotts kept with him so much. Especially in the first half, Vucevic was dreadful. Vucevic in the second half did okay. But Nurkic was tremendous. So I would expect his price, he's going to go on like a Jokic-type, you know, salary rise here. He could be 5, 6K in like a week or two. And then if he keeps performing like this, it's going to go even higher, obviously. Terrence Ross is really good for Orlando. Frank Vogel is a menace. He's a troll. I loathe him. So he doesn't play Elfrid Payton. You know, he gives Fournier a ton of minutes. Okay, I get that. Who do you play the second most minutes on Orlando? Terrence Ross. Has Terrence Ross ever played 33 minutes before in his life? Maybe like a handful of times, I guess. But Terrence Ross got 33 minutes. And he couldn't make any shot. He was missing everything. He shot 4 of 17. But he's not going to stop shooting. That's who Terrence Ross is. He guns the ball. He's a one-trick pony. Although when you get 33 minutes, you can stumble into other things. So he got 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals. So if you played him, you still probably – he hit like 7-8 times his salary because he was so dirt cheap. And if he's going to keep getting those types of minutes – he's going to help us win GPPs because if he makes half his shots, which he can do, he's a streaky shooter, or if he gets hot and makes 6, 7, 8 threes in the game, he can put up 35, 45 FanDuel points easy. On DraftKings, the same thing. I mean, and you get the Donkey Kong bonus for three-pointers. So I'll be intrigued to see what his salary is next game. It's probably going to come up. I bet you DraftKings is going to jack up his price, and on FanDuel it might take a little longer. But he's going to be in play for me until that price gets too high, or Vogel – you know, lowers his minutes. But I was shocked that he got that many shots and that many minutes in his first game with Orlando. I mean, man. Willie Cauley-Stein. So I missed a big portion of this game when I took a nap, an unexpected nap, so I could do the podcast at 4:42 in the morning now. Dear God, it's getting late. But what I did see, Willie Cauley-Stein's a beast. He's just so athletic. He runs up and down the court. What kind of animal just run? I mean, I wouldn't say like a cheetah, because cheetahs aren't super big. But I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein is just athletically, he's just supremely gifted. In terms of just basketball talent or basketball skill, he's still got a ways to go. He's raw. But when you see, and he's shown flashes this year, because he's won me a lot of money on a couple other nights. And when you see flashes like this, you maybe this is what maybe the Kings saw this, and that's why they traded Boogie. Although, do any of us believe that the Kings actually have any like rational thinkers in that front office? No. Also, like Kufis still started. Why would you start Kufis? That was another idiot move. But regardless, Willie Cauley-Stein, he looked great. 29 points, 10 rebounds, 1 block, and the most important thing is like always for me is minutes. He got 35 minutes, so even though he didn't start, he basically played – he came in pretty quick and then played almost an entire game for them. And going forward, like there's no reason ever – Dave Yeager, listening to me? There's no reason to never, ever, 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 ever not give him 30-plus minutes a night. And if you do that, he will stumble into a double-double. Now, do I think he's going to get 29 actual points most nights? No, because he's not a really great offensive scorer. So if he's in a tough matchup, he'll struggle offensively. But the rebound stats should be there. I mean, he only had 1 block in 35 minutes. To me, that was a little surprising. I thought he'd get more blocks. But he's going to be a good play all formats. His like a lot of these guys, this is Nurkic, Willie Cauley-Stein, Ish Smith. A lot of these guys who I mentioned as dream lovers on Thursday slate, their price is going to skyrocket in the next few days to next week to next 2 weeks. Buddy Hield was really good for Sacramento as well. He didn't get the start either, but he came through. When he played the 26 minutes, had 16 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. He looked comfortable. And by the way, in case you didn't watch that game or you didn't look at a box score, Sacramento also won, and they won easily against Denver. It was 116 to 100, but they were up by 20 for pretty much a lot of the second half. So, obviously Sacramento – heard what the rest of us heard the past week about the Boogie trade, and they came out supremely motivated. And Denver, not so much. Where are we? Durant. Golden State still ruined the slate like they always do. Curry and Durant were in almost every winning lineup I saw. Durant, what do you have? 25 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, like 55 FanDuel points, I think. And Curry, 35 points, 6 threes, 5 assists, 4 steals, over 50 to 60 FanDuel points as well. And, yeah, I mean, this freaking Golden State team, they put up 50 actual points in the third quarter. It was like watching a video game. They just didn't miss, and it was Curry, and it basically was Curry. He just caught fire, like, late in the third quarter. He didn't miss a freaking shot. It was unbelievable. It's just sickening that Durant went there. It makes me so freaking angry. I mean, what NBA team scores 50 points in a quarter? That's not even freaking possible. Yep, that's Golden State. Ruining the NBA, ruining DFS. All right, let's get to injury news for Friday. So where are we? Josh Richardson's finally going to play for Miami. Interesting. We'll see what happens there. Avery Bradley, he's still out with his stupid Achilles. He's been out for months with this thing. So as long as he's out, Marcus Smart, obviously Isaiah, but Marcus Smart's been playing really well the last few weeks. Looks like D Wade's going to play. Ronnie Hood's finally going to play. It's a minor miracle. So Utah's going to be actually healthy for once, which means, you know what that means? I don't want anyone from Utah. I don't want anyone. I'm going to cross that game off. Jeremy Lin's going to play. This is now, where's my gavel? This, well, I don't want to object to that. I'm actually interested by that. Jeremy Lin did destroy almost every one of my season-long teams because I drafted him everywhere. So we'll see how he does finally going to play. I mean, how many games has he played this year? Like 4, 5? So obviously, say RIP to like Whitehead, Yellowhead, Blackhead, Dim Little, Dim Doodle, Crim Little, Bim Boodle, all those bum Brooklyn point guards. Chris Paul looks like he's still going to be out for the Clippers. Doc Rivers called him iffy. And can we all agree, can we remove iffy from the English language? Like, what the – who came up with iffy? What does that even freaking mean? Iffy? Thanks, Doc. How about you make your son iffy for Friday's game? All right, so, yeah, injury news. I'm probably missing some, but let's hop over to Vegas to take a little quick little flight. So on Thursday, we had 4 games with a 220 or over-under. On Friday, right now, we're still waiting for 3 games for spreads and over-unders. But right now, there's no games with an over-under that, like, screams off the page. The highest one is Washington-Philly, which should be a juicy game, 217 over-under. You got Boston-Toronto, 215. Phoenix-Chicago, 215. So the Bulls playing way up in pace there. That's exciting for me. And then you got some kind of disgusting games. You got Utah-Milwaukee. Man, I don't really want anyone there, especially in cash games. That's a 200 over-under. You got Dallas-Minnesota, 203. In cash games, do we really want to touch that game? Not really. Miami-Atlanta, 207. Memphis-Indiana, 207. So this, you know, and then we're waiting on games too. We're waiting on Spurs-Clippers. I can tell you right now, Spurs-Clippers, I'm not touching that game for cash either. So really, even though it's a 10-game slate, Spurs-Clippers and Utah-Milwaukee, X those out for me in cash games. So I'm looking at an 8-game slate for cash games. Brooklyn-Denver, that should have a high over-under whenever that game does post a number. And Lakers-OKC, that also should be a good game. But right now, there's just no point spread and no over-under for those games. Teams playing up in pace. I want to attack teams playing up in pace because they are going to get more possessions, which means they are underpriced for this slate. Denver. How is Denver playing up in pace? Wow, Brooklyn plays that freaking fast. Yeah, Denver's playing up in pace. Wow, that's pretty amazing. And pretty significantly, too. That just shows you it's crazy how fast – because you think of Brooklyn, right? And you think of like Dim Doodle and Whitehead and Kilpatrick and LeVert, Hollis Jefferson and Brook Lopez. How are they playing at such a fast pace all year? But they are. God bless them, because it makes well, or otherwise it'd be a disgusting team to watch. Let's face it, they're still disgusting to watch. But it makes it a little more enjoyable though when you do play at a faster pace. So Denver playing way up in pace. So now Denver's fully healthy, and a lot of those guys are too expensive, but they will be in play. The Bulls, we're going to like a lot of Bulls on this slate, playing way up pace against Phoenix. The Lakers, a little bit against OKC. Let's see. And then that's about it, really. I mean, there's a stat called projected pace, which I don't have time in the podcast to go into. There's some teams playing up in projected pace, but that could be a whole podcast in itself. All right, let's hop into the play. So remember, what do we do on a 10-game slate? We let the slate dictate who we play, as always. So guys that may be good plays on a 4 or 5-game slate, will not be good plays on a 10-game slate. You don't have to force anyone on Friday. There's good players at every position. You have value at every position. So especially in cash games, you don't have to force it. If you ask me, if you tweet at me questions, you know, about Salah Mejri, I'm going to take my gavel, find you, and beat you upside the head. If you email me questions about Tarik Black on a 10-game slate, I'm going to hit you upside the head. You don't have to do it. Remember, don't force it into cash games. In tournaments, you can always take risks. All right, so point guard, Westbrook. So Westbrook's price come down. It's 12.7K, which is good. And he's coming off of a 75-point explosion against the Knicks. When was that, though? I guess that was before the All-Star break, right? So Westbrook gets the Lakers. Do you need to do Westbrook on a 10-game slate? No. Point guard is loaded. Also, when you look at winning GPP lineups on large slates, are the super, super high-priced guys normally in them? For the most part this year, they have not been. With that said, am I going to play Westbrook on this slate at that price? I probably will because the Lakers are dreadful. I want to take advantage of that price. I'm a little nervous of a potential blowout here because the Lakers clearly are trying to tank and get their top three protected pick. But Westbrook's, as always, safe for all formats, elite, elite, elite spot for him. John Wall, really good spot for him too. Philly, he's going to run circles around TJ McConnell. Wall does not have the upside, you know, to give you like six times the salary, but he will just put it down and get you between 40 and 55 FanDuel points. Just super safe play, safe for all formats. Do I envision him being, though, in the winning GPP lineup? I don't. I don't see it. Isaiah Thomas, 10. So Isaiah's price come down a little bit, 9.8K. To me, that's just still too expensive. He's a one-trick pony. Remember, he's got to give us 50 FanDuel points, and he did that one time in February. Now, there was an All-Star break, so take that with a grain of salt. But that still was like 9, 10 games, and it's too expensive for me. Remember, let the slate dictate what I do. So if it was a 4 or 5 game slate, I'd be a little more intrigued. But Lowry is also Boston's playing Toronto. Lowry's a good defender. So for cash games, I won't touch this. Now in tournaments, I'm intrigued by this because Boston-Toronto, they have a little bit of a rivalry going. Boston has rivalries with like everyone now. They have one with Washington. They have one with Toronto. So I liken Lowry to Isaiah Thomas, a little mini game stack here for tournaments. Eric Bledsoe, 9K. He was getting really tired before the All-Star break, and then Hornacek, like, oh, my bad. You know, I've done this on several podcasts, and let me tell you guys. First of all, it's like 5 in the morning, so hopefully you would think that people listening would cut me some slack. You know, I'm not getting paid to do the podcast. I'm actually losing money to do the podcast, quite honestly. And it's a lot of effort to do this for you guys. But whenever I make a mistake, like I just did, so I said Hornacek is coaching Phoenix, and I don't know why I'm saying that. I don't know if I'm just like a Freudian slip. Do I wish Hornacek was still coaching Phoenix? Am I tired of seeing Hornacek in New York? I'm not sure why I'm doing that. I know that Earl Watson is the god, can I say, yeah, the goddamn coach of the Phoenix Suns. I know he is. So I don't know why I'm saying that. But you don't have to tweet at me. You don't have to email me when I make a mistake on the show. Now, I know you probably still will, and that's fine. Go ahead. But just you can rest assured, whenever I make a mistake, I hear from all of you. I'll get 50, 60, 70 tweets, DMs, IMs, emails. Every time I either mispronounce – well, I can't – and I can't speak anyway. Whenever I mispronounce someone's name or I get a coach wrong or a player wrong. So remember, if I make a mistake, guys, you don't have to come at me. Well, if you want to, go ahead. It's fine. Anyway, Earl Watson rested Eric Bledsoe because Bledsoe's been very fatigued. Why he's so fatigued? Not entirely sure, but whatever. But now he had a week to rest with the All-Star break. So Bledsoe's fine, except on a 10-game slate, Phoenix playing way down in pace. Do I really want to play a ton of Bledsoe? No, I don't. Kyle Lowry, I like Lowry much better than Bledsoe because Lowry gets Isaiah Thomas defense. The price is okay, 8.3K. Lowry started – he's been super efficient this year. the last couple weeks before the All-Star break was not great. I'm hoping this time off did him well as you know, got his body rested. He's going to come back feeling refreshed, feeling spry on Friday. So Lowry, to me, I like him a lot in this slate. Safe for all formats. Goran Dragic, 7.8K. I love attacking Atlanta guards. Love attacking Dennis Schroeder. That's not going to change. But Miami is healthy now. So they've Deion's back, obviously. Josh Richardson is back. Tyler Johnson's back. So do I feel a need, a craving desire to play Dragic on this slate? No, I don't. Do I think he's relatively safe? If you want to use him in cash games, I guess. I just probably would prefer to go a different route. Although, man, Dennis Schroeder's defense is so freaking bad. Mike Conley, 7.5K. Conley's fine. Yeah, I mean, him and Dragic are pretty much similar to me a little bit. I'm trying to see who has a higher usage rate between Dragic and Conley. Let's see. So Conley's usage rate is 29.3%. Much higher than – that's actually higher than I thought. And Dragic is around 29%. You know, taking matchup into account, price into account, man, it's close. But still, I something in me still wants Conley on this slate over Dragic. I don't know why. Conley has been a little more consistent. But both are good plays. I mean, Conley and Dragic to me these days are just nice cash game plays. Do they have the upside to help you win a tournament? I don't know. It's hard to see. I mean, Dragic, at his salary, needs to give you 50 FanDuel points or 50 DraftKings points. That's tough to envision. So both those guys, fine for cash. I don't love them as tournament plays, though. Jeff Teague, playing Memphis, 6.9K. So not a huge fan of that, but he's cheap. So if you want to throw him out in a tournament, you can do it. I don't know why I said troll him out. You can roll him out in tournament. Ricky Rubio, 6.7K. So he gets Dallas. I am interested to see if Dallas plays a little bit of a faster pace now that Darren Williams is gone and Yogi's in there. Nerlens is in there. Got some young guns now. But, yeah, again, 10-game slate. Don't love Rubio. Dennis Schroeder, 6.5K. Tournaments only, can't touch them in cash. I'm not paying 6K for TJ McConnell. No, thank you. George Hill, 5.9K. So you mean the thing with Utah right now is they're fully healthy. So Rodney Hood's back. They have Hayward. They have Favors. They have Gobert. So I mean, what is Hill's usage going to be in this game? I'm a little nervous about it. I love the price, but Utah. I mean, this Utah Milwaukee game. It should be pretty disgusting. I'm pretty surprised it had the over-unders at 200. That seems ambitious. So probably not a huge fan of this game in general. Jeremy Lin, 5.8K. So he gets Denver in his first game back. So he gets an elite matchup. It's all about how many minutes. So keep an eye out for NBA news, I'd see how many minutes their coach is going to give him. I'm not sure. If he gets over 24 minutes, to me, he'll be in play on this slate. D'Angelo Russell, 5.7K, tournaments only. I heard Luke Walton's finally going to start giving Russell and Randall more minutes, and that's what Magic Johnson wants. So we'll see if that happens. Yogi Ferrell is 5.5K. So with Darren Williams gone, I guess we'll have to keep an eye on, is JJ Barea back or not? That I need to find out. I haven't seen any news on Barea. And also, it looks like he's still out when I'm looking on FanDuel. Yeah, so I guess JJ is still going to be out, even though I know they wanted him to come back right after the All-Star break. So as long as JJ Barea is out, I like Yogi. 5.5K, very fair, and he's going to get 35 minutes, safe for all formats. Brogdon against Utah, 5K. I don't love it. You can do it in a tournament if you want. Rondo, 4.7K against Phoenix. Rondo's an intriguing tournament play. He's probably going to get 24 minutes or so. And against Phoenix, he can give you probably 25, 30 Vandal points. So he runs that entire second unit with the Bulls right now. MCW's 4.5K. See, not with the Bulls, not with Wade back, I would assume Grant's still going to start. I don't think MCW's going to be in play in a 10-game slate. And you got Dellavedova down here as well if you want to use him, but that's about it for point guard. All right, shooting guard. Man. It's 5:01 a.m. in the morning. I'm tired, guys. I'm going to try to power through. All right, you got Giannis, 10.4K. Against Utah, just not the right matchup to do it. You know, in a tournament, if you want to play the ownership game, you're going to get him super low owned. But he's expensive. You really need him to give you over 60 FanDuel points to take down a tournament. Is he capable? Sure. Last time he played Utah, he only had 21 FanDuel points. Should he do better than that? Of course. But will he hit value? Tough to see. DeMar DeRozan, 8.1K. Not a horrible play. It's just, he never makes my lineups. He'll probably get you between 30 and 40. If you want to stack that game, you know, maybe play some DeMar. D. Wade, 7.9K. So Wade and DeRozan are pretty close in price. Wade should be rested. He had the whole All-Star break, and now he gets Phoenix. So I think Wade has more upside than DeMar DeRozan. He's a one-trick pony. Wade can still fill up a stat sheet. He's also like even with the first unit, he handles the ball a ton. Even though they're starting Grant, a lot of times they don't even play a point guard. And late in the fourth quarter, it's Butler and Wade as the point guards. So Wade to me is safe for all formats on this slate. I love to play Wade when he has rest. You're not going to find him more rested than this. The most rest he's going to have all year. Deion Waiter, 7.3K. He's been really good, so I get it if you want to play him. But now with Josh Richardson back as well, what do we expect from Waiters? He's expensive. Beal's he's more expensive than Beal, so give me Beal over Waiters. With that said, as you guys know, I like attacking Atlanta guards. You should too, so he does get Atlanta. So I don't mind Waiters for tournaments. Beal, 7.1K, safe for all formats. Who's going to guard him? Stauskas? Gerald Henderson? So I'm not a huge fan of playing these one-trick ponies, but I do like the matchup for Beal. He's also been really good lately. I think he's safe. He could give you – he's got a floor around 28 FanDuel points in this game with like a ceiling of around 45, which is a pretty big range, but I do think he's safe for all formats. Devin Booker. I like Beal a little bit better than Booker on this slate because of the matchup. But Booker's fine too. You could use both. If you want to play all one-trick ponies, play a Beal Booker lineup. Booker gets so many shots, so he'll be fine. He'll get close to 30, 35 FanDuel points. Will Barton, 6.4K. So I mean, Denver was fully healthy on Thursday, and so I was really nervous about Will Barton's minutes, and he still got 32, and Gary Harris still got over 30 as well. So that was surprising. Now, remember, Mike Malone benched Jokic. Do I see Jokic getting benched again against Brooklyn? No, I don't. So do I see Will Barton getting 30 over 30 minutes? I don't. And that means it's just hard to pay 6.4K. It's expensive. In tournaments, can you do it? Sure, because he's supremely gifted offensively. Marcus Smart's price went way up, 6.1K. See, this is where the slate comes in. 10-game slate, I don't want to do it. If it was a 5-game slate, I'd probably play a decent amount of Marcus Smart. When I stack this game, if I have 10 lineups, I'll play Smart and maybe like one or two. Oladipo, 6K. He gets the Lakers. He hasn't had a big game since 2015? It feels like that. I think it was like 2-3 weeks ago, quite honestly. But yeah, against the Lakers, everyone's in play. Wes Matthews, 5.8K, just a boring guy. If you don't know what to do, the slate scares you for some reason, just put in Wes Matthews. He'll stumble, bumble, fumble, 25 FanDuel points. Tim Hardaway Jr. Remember, Cephalosha, I think, is back. So Hardaway Jr. has been great the last few weeks. But most of that, well, besides, like, I think he had like one dud or so. But a lot of that, he's getting extra minutes because Cephalosha is out. So that makes me a little bit nervous now. I won't use him in cash games. But tournaments, sure, he still has upside. Seth Curry, 5.4K. I want to see what starting lineup Dallas uses. I think I prefer Wes to Seth Curry in cash games because I know Wes, at least I know Wes Matthews' minutes are locked. You know, he's going to get 35 minutes. Seth Curry, the minutes might be a little bit less than that. I'm not sure. I think JJ's still out, as I mentioned. So Curry should still get around to, what, 28 minutes or so? Josh Richardson, his first game back, probably not the day to unleash him on a 10-game slate. Gary Harris, 5.2K against Brooklyn, safe for all formats. He was one of the few guys against Sacramento that played well. Him and Will Barton, the two guys who played pretty well. Then he got the under 5K bums. Crawford, Redick, Stauskas, Powell, LeVert. LeVert intrigues me. So LeVert's 4K. Has he always been a shooting guard? I feel like he was not a shooting guard always. But he's a shooting guard on this slate. And remember, Brooklyn traded Bogdanovich. So it's going to give more minutes to someone. Is it going to be Kilpatrick? Is it going to be LeVert? Is it going to be Hollis Jefferson? I hope it's LeVert because LeVert has a lot of talent. He does have upside. So is Hollis Jefferson. So keep an eye on the news. If we find out LeVert's going to start at 4K, to me, I think he's safe for all formats. If we find out Kilpatrick's going to start, that bum might be okay too. He's 3.8K. So just obviously between the two of them, I want the one who starts. And even if LeVert doesn't start, I still will probably play some LeVert because I like his game. Small forward, Kawhi, 9.6K against the Clippers. Just a nice, safe play. Under the radar guy, he always is. He's going to find a way to get you 40, 45 fantasy points as long as the Clippers can keep that game close. They are on a back-to-back. Jimmy Butler, I prefer Butler to Kawhi just because of pace. I love pace. I'm a man of pace. So they're the same price. I think Butler has a little bit more upside because he's going to get so many more possessions. I'm a little nervous with Wade back because if Wade gets going, Butler will defer to Wade. I mean, also Wade, the mentor, but you know, he's been mentoring Butler this entire year. So that's going to limit Butler's upside a little bit, but because Phoenix, it's going to be such an up and down game, he'll be fine. Andrew freaking Wiggins. Wow. He's 8.7K now. That's ridiculously crazy expensive, man. He was what, 7K a week and a half ago. And then like ever since LaVine's been out, he's been on just an absolute tear. He's been tremendous. He's been putting up close to 40, 45 to 50 fandom points the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 games. So I guess this price makes a little bit of sense based on that. But 10-game slate against Dallas, could I envision Dallas? I'm putting like Wes Matthews on him. I could. Do I want Wiggins on this slate at that price? Not really. Paul George, 8.1K. So against Memphis, you can do it in tournaments. Hayward, I don't really want anyone from Utah. Gallinari, 6.9K. You know, even though Denver's playing Brooklyn, does he have upside at that price? To me, not a ton. Covington, 6.6K. He does have upside. So I don't think I want to use him in cash, but tournaments, I'm okay with that. Chandler, you know, Chandler and Gallinari, they're both just too expensive, man. So, like, they both could give you 30, 35 fandom points. But that's not enough to, like, win a tournament. I mean, if you're playing them, you're hoping one of them goes off. The problem is which one. It is a back-to-back. So if I had to choose one, I guess Wilson Chandler. But, I mean, you know, I do not like the price on those guys. Also, Denver should, I don't know. I mean, in theory, Denver should blow Brooklyn out. But Denver's on a back-to-back. Denver just has so many guys right now. When they're healthy, they are a hard team to figure out who to freaking play right now. Harrison Barnes, 6.1K. See, to me, if I'm choosing between like Barnes and a Wilson Chandler or Gallinari, for a cash game, just give me Barnes. It's just safe. I don't have to worry about it. I know he's going to get me 25, 30. I don't have to worry about minutes. It's just, again, Barnes is not a guy with monster upside either, so I don't love it for tournaments. But cash games, Barnes is just nice and safe. Speaking of, safe, Jay Crowder. I don't know what happened the last game against Chicago when he only had like 10 Fando points. Was he nervous he's going to get traded? But he's always one of my favorite cash game plays. He was over 6K for a little bit, so I didn't touch him in cash games for about a week. But now he's under 6K. Safe for – he actually – and without Avery Bradley, he has a little bit of upside too. So I don't mind that play at all. Michael Beasley, 5.4K. The problem here is he gets Utah. But Michael Beasley, he makes difficult shots. And he's an enigma, always has been. So could he get super hot against Utah and help you win that? Help you win a tournament? Yeah. So in tournaments, you can still play him if you want. TJ Warren. So with Phoenix trading PJ Tucker, it did open up some extra minutes because Tucker was still getting a lot of freaking minutes for Phoenix. You would hope and pray those minutes go to TJ Warren, right? They should. Remember, just to start the year, Warren was a monster. He was Phoenix's best player. He was better than Bledsoe. He was better than Booker. So to me, Warren's too cheap. If he's going to get all those extra minutes, maybe he'll get some more shots too. 5K, safe for all formats. Kent Bazemore, tournaments only. You got Hollis Jefferson. We need to see who's starting for Brooklyn. But either way, even if he doesn't start, to me, Hollis Jefferson's fine. He's got a floor around 15, 20 Fanduel points. At that price, it probably won't kill your lineup. Then you got Carroll, Roberson. Ugh. Yeah. Brandon Ingram's is down here. Brandon Ingram's 3.6K. And I'm telling you, he will help us win a GBP at some point this year. I don't know when. It may be like the last week of the season, but it's going to happen. And Luke Wall now is going to play these young guys lots of minutes. And he hasn't been good, but 3.6K, I will play Brandon Ingram in some lineups. All right, power forward, Jokic, 10.9K. You guys know one of my favorite things to do is I have a spreadsheet. I write down all the guys who sucked on one day, and then I want to make sure to roster them the next night because of recency bias. Who's the number one guy I have on my spreadsheet right now for being an absolute bum on Thursday? Jokic. So I love me the Jokic play on Friday. It's against Brooklyn. He should smash, crash, annihilate them. The price does worry me. Do you need to do it in any format? No, it's 10-game slate, guys. But elite spot. Blake Griffin, 9.7K. It's tough to attack the Spurs, especially their bigs. Again, how you can win a tournament, you pivot off of a Jokic, you play a Blake Griffin who's going to be low-owned on this slate. He wasn't great on Thursday night. He was actually, I actually should have put him down as a dream killer as well. The problem was he was like 1.5, 2K cheaper than Jokic, and he almost doubled Jokic's FanDuel and DraftKings points. But Blake Griffin was not good. He had 12 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 30 FanDuel points. At his price, he needs to get his 50. So I don't love that play either on this slate. Paul Millsap, 7.7K. He never gets the ball. His usage rate is just so annoyingly low. Price is fair though. Matchup's fine. I mean, Miami plays at a slow pace, but they have no one to defend Millsap. So I mean, I don't mind that. Markieff Morris, 7.1K. All these, Washington is a little bit similar to Denver, except they don't have nearly as much talent. But all the Washington starters, they play a lot of minutes. They're somewhat expensive, but they're pretty much fine. You can play them. The hard part is figuring out which one's going to go off, like which one's going to help you win a tournament. That's hard to predict. But can you play Markieff in cash, as crazy as it sounds, at 7.1K? You probably can. I don't think he's going to kill your lineup. James Johnson, I still only really use him in tournaments. Although, I know people who use him in cash games, and it's worked out for them this year. Remember, Miami now full after the All-Star break, so almost all teams are. This is about as healthy as all teams can be. He'll still get around 30 minutes. Decent matchup, not a great matchup for him. Does have upside though. I don't mind it. Dario Saric. So he was the big winner of the Ersan Ilyasova trade. He should now start, see over 30 minutes, and he should smash. He's been great. He should give you a double-double, 20 points, 10 rebounds. Now, once Ben Simmons comes back, we'll see what happens there. But 6.2K for Saric, it's not cheap. You're paying for it. But can he pay off that salary? Yeah, I think he can. So to me, Saric safe for all formats. Dirk, 6.1K. Yeah, whatever. I mean, it would be interesting. I mean, this is a fun little slate to play Wade and Dirk. Play two guys, fit, you know, it's like a senior citizen night because all these guys had a week off to rest. So they should be as fresh as they possibly can be. So Dirk's fine. I still think the upside somewhat limited, but I don't mind it. Let's see. Ibaka. I'm still just not sure what to expect with Toronto. I'm pretty sure he hasn't suited up yet for Toronto, has he? I don't think he has. So this should be his first game, so it'll be interesting to see. Now I can't remember. Maybe he did play a game with Toronto. I don't think he has, though. Waffle House Randall, 5.7K, tournaments only. All about minutes with him. All about the freaking minutes. Gorgui Dieng, 5.5K against Dallas. So I'm not sure if Nerlens Noel is going to play for Dallas or not. If Nerlens does not play, Dallas can't rebound. So Dieng at this price, it's fine. It's a fine cash game play. He's not going to give you 40 FanDuel points and help you win a tournament, but can he help you win it in cash games? Yeah, he can. David Lee, all right, rest in peace. Paul Gasol is coming back. Favors is still down here, dirt cheap, under 5K. If you want to roll out that guy, I don't know. Jamichael Green, he's 4.2K. What? I like using him in cash games occasionally. Normally, it's not a 10-game slate. As long as he's still starting, though, you can do it. I don't hate that play. I mean, Memphis is playing Indiana. Indiana all year long has struggled to defend power forwards. Bobby Portis, I think he's going to get the start for Taj Gibson. So if he's starting, which I think he should, safe for all formats. Lock and load. Get him in there. 4.2K. That's a phenomenal matchup against Phoenix. He should give you 30 FanDuel points. Marquese Chriss, another guy intrigues me. Only tournaments for him. He'll get extra minutes as well, but not now that PJ Tucker is gone. Because Chris can play the three or the four, and that's what Tucker was playing. That's about it for power forwards. Center, Towns, 10.4K. So if Noel doesn't play, he's in an elite spot because Dallas just can't rebound the ball. So Towns should be able to feast on the interior. There's no one Dallas has to be able to defend him. Remember, before they traded for Nerlens, they were playing like Dirk at the five. Can you imagine Dirk trying to defend Karl-Anthony Towns? I mean, maybe they play Salah Mesri some minutes if Noel's not playing. But Towns, if Noel's out, is in an elite spot. If Noel plays, I don't love Towns nearly as much. He's still okay. Whiteside, 9K. Dwight Howard is still okay defensively, so I'm not a huge fan of that play. Whiteside actually put together a couple of decent games before the All-Star break. I don't mind it for tournaments. I wouldn't do it in cash. Marc Gasol. Dude, like Conley and Gasol, I've been using them in cash games lately, and it's been working almost every night. They're just nice, safe, boring plays. Gasol, that gets me like 40, around 40, 45 FanDuel points. So, you know, a guy that won't help you win a tournament, but you're using cash. Lopez. This is intriguing. I mean, yeah, I'm not a fan of using Brook Lopez. I think I went almost a month without really using him. And then he put up 60 FanDuel points against the Bucks. Another good matchup here against Jokic. Do I envision him giving 60? I do not. Lin is also coming back. But I think Lin back actually helps Lopez. He's going to get him some open looks, some easy putbacks as defenders go to Lynn while he drives the hoop. They can also do some nice pick and roll together, some pick and pop. So Lopez, to me, I'm intrigued. It's still expensive, though, so I'll probably only do it in like single-entry tournaments or multi-entry tournaments. But, yeah, I don't mind to play. Rudy Gobert, 7.6K. I mean, Brook Lopez destroyed the Bucks. The difference here is Gobert doesn't destroy you with his offensive, you know, prowess. It's going to be rebounds and blocks. So he'll give you 30, 35, 40 fandom points, and that's safe for cash games. And that's about it, though. Dwight Howard. Dwight's still dirt cheap. He's 7.2K. So Whiteside's not a good defender. So I don't mind that play. Don't love it. Gortat, 6.8K. Same. I feel the same way about Gortat that I do Markieff. Fine. You can do it. Although I don't love that play either. Greg Monroe. I hate this play. I hate it, hate it, hate it. He's 6.7K going up against Rudy Gobert. So he was playing really well before the All-Star break, but the problem was they jacked up his price, and then right off the bat, after a couple 40 fandom point nights, he gets Gobert. In tournaments, you can do it if you want to be a risk taker. Me, I'll probably just sit this night out for playing Greg Monroe. Miles Turner, same thing with Turner. Turner gets Marc Gasol. I avoid Marc Gasol and I avoid Rudy Gobert. So I love playing Turner, one of my favorite tournament centers to play. But on this slate, I'll probably, you know, maybe I'll, if I have 10 lineups, I play Turner maybe in one, maybe Monroe in one, maybe Al Horford. Wow, Al Horford is so dirt cheap. They're giving us Al Horford for free. He's 6.3K. And the reason he's that cheap is because he can't get a rebound to save his life these days. He stands 45 feet away from the basket. Now, I understand why they're doing that, because he spaces the floor really well for Isaiah Thomas, and that's why Isaiah Thomas has so much room and gets to the rim at will. And you have opposing centers trying to guard Horford 35 feet away from the hoop. The problem is, in DFS terms, Horford can't get a freaking rebound, and he hasn't been doing anything else either. So tournaments only, you can't trust him for cash. Steven Adams, ding, 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 ding. 6K against the Lakers. Safe for all formats. He should smash them. Mason Plumlee, no thank you. Valanciunas. So it's funny because, you know, you guys know I love Valanciunas. He's had two games against Boston this year. The first time, I played them both. The first time he made me a fortune. And he only played 28 minutes because Dwayne Casey will never play him over 30 minutes. But he had 18 points, 23 rebounds, 47 Fando points. The next time against Boston, we all saw that stat line. He was one of the highest owned nights I've seen him this year. And he got 12 minutes and 8 Fando points. And then the next day I heard another podcast say, Toronto just decided to go small. No, he got in foul trouble. He got 2 fouls in like the first 3 minutes. He had 3 fouls in like 6 minutes. He had 4 fouls in like 5 minutes. And then Casey basically said, you know what, Valanciunas, F you. I hate you. I'm not playing you anymore. So you can destroy Boston bigs because they have no bigs. Horford's a power forward. He's not even a center. So Valanciunas, he should smash them. Now, do I recommend it in cash games because Dwayne Casey hates his guts? No. But tournaments, yeah, I like to play. Tyson Chandler, I guess he didn't get traded, right? So he's still in Phoenix? So I don't mind that. I mean, to me, Tyson Chandler is the same as the Triscuit. He's going to occasionally put up a dud. He has a less than 10% usage rate. They're playing down in pace, Phoenix, so I don't love the play, but his price is fair. Then you got Olynyk. You got Robin Lopez. Robin Lopez, 4.9K. The problem is, are the Bulls going to go small? I guess Robin Lopez is going to play as many minutes as Tyson Chandler, right? So 4.9K for Robin Lopez, that's fine. Okafor is still in Phoenix, or Philly. He didn't get traded, so he's 4.5K. I don't like Okafor, like nothing about him, but at that price, you can play him. And then you got Deadman Walking. I know a lot. His ownership has been pretty high the last few games, the last couple weeks, I should say. And he's been fine. He's been producing. He's been hitting value. is 4.4K. Last two games, 26, 20 Fando points. He popped off a 40 Fando point against sleepy Andre Drummond a couple weeks ago. So as long as he's starting, now remember, Pau Gasol's back. So if Pau Gasol's starting, I can't be playing Deadman. If Deadman still starts, you can maybe play him. And keep an eye. My sneaky ninja is Zubac. Keep an eye on Zubac. I would expect his minutes to rise. Now, on a 10-game slate, do you want to play him? Probably not. But going forward, you know, I see Mozgov getting no minutes for Lakers. So it's going to be Black and Zubac. And at some point, they're going to realize, why are we playing Black at all? Let's give Zubac all the minutes. At least I hope they do that. And Larry Nance Jr., let's play him as well. All right, that's it. It's almost 5:30 in the morning. Dear God, I got to go to bed. Hope you made money on Thursday. Hope you achieved glory on Friday. Whew, man, what a long day. Roller coaster. All right, got my gavel for the bailiff, for the judge. Oh, if you have any questions, hopefully by now you know where to find me. You can tweet at me, at DanielAGreen1. As I was saying, though, for the bailiff, for the judge, court is adjourned.